This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou, nau mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau, Ōtiputi Dunedin Monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Ko Anna Tokuinga, I'm the manager at Citizens Advice Bureau here. And our guest today is Lisa Burrow, who is the Eco Design Advisor at the DCC. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Lovely to have you here. We're just going to have a kōrero about this wonderful free service and give our listeners some useful advice and practical tips for making a house healthy, dry and warm, especially important here in Dunedin where houses are generally quite cold. So insulation is key, and actually most homes are under-insulated. And the current building code also does not require high levels of insulation, unfortunately. Can you tell us a little first about the importance of insulation?
Insulation is really important. It helps slows down the loss of our heat out of our homes. So it's basically like wrapping our houses in a puffer jacket. That's basically the purpose of insulation. And you're right, our insulation, our houses didn't even require insulation until 1978. So there's a lot of houses that don't have insulation in the walls and very little insulation elsewhere.
Yes. Where does heating go in an uninsulated house, mostly?
The majority of it actually goes through the ceiling. Heat rises, so, you know, a good 30-35% of it goes through the ceiling. Then quite a lot through the walls, maybe 20% through the walls, around 20 to 25 through the windows, possibly around 10 to 14% through the floor, and then quite a bit through air leakage as well, so maybe around 10% through air leakage.
So therefore, ceilings should be the first area to insulate.
Yes.
And usually easy to access.
Yeah.
And biggest gains for the money, I guess, too. So, yeah. Firstly, I guess I was going to ask, how, if people have already got old insulation, how do they check its performance?
Yep. So going into the roof space, I mean, obviously you've got to be really careful about this. Follow your, you know, if you're not comfortable looking, then get someone else to have a look. A lot of the insulation companies will do this, you know, have a look for free for you, or I can have a look. But if you want to have a look for yourself, I would suggest just sticking your head into the manhole. Don't climb up there yourself. Stick your head up. You could use a selfie stick if you have one of those. And just see, ideally what you want is you want to have insulation up to the level of the rafters. So that's your timber and your roof. And then if it's, you know, really what we want is even another layer of insulation over the top of the rafters as well. So two layers of insulation. If you have old insulation, that's okay. As long as it's not wet, it can stay there. You can just layer more insulation over the top.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a couple of options there, bats, wool.
Yes, yep. So polyester, glass fibre, wool bats, all of those work really well. What you want to be looking for is the R value of the products. Mm. So all of them have been tested in a lab and have been given an R value. And that R value is the resistance to heat transfer. So the higher that R value is, the greater, the less heat will travel through that product. So you want to get the highest R value that is practical, and, you know, for the product that you're happy for. So some people might prefer to use a wool product, or they might prefer a polyester, or they might have reasons for preferring a different product over one or another.
What is the highest R value?
So at the moment, we've just had an upgrade to the building code, and for our ceiling insulation level, it is actually at an international standard now. So I think we're pretty good for our ceiling levels, and it's actually R6.6. And we're in a pretty cold location here in New Zealand, and I'd say, you know, that's a pretty good one to aim for
But in terms of product, what is the highest you can go?
Maybe R4 in New Zealand. That might be for one particular product. So you have to actually, because you want to do it in two layers anyway, you want to go firstly in between the rafters and then the second layer over the top. Mm-hmm. You want to do it in two layers anyway.
Mm-hmm. But the building code 6.6?
6.6 now.
And so what is the highest you can actually get if you put the best stuff in?
Well, you have to do it in layers.
Right.
So you can keep just going.
You could have three levels of four.
Yep, exactly.
Right. Yep. Okay,
cool. You can, as long as you've got the space.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You don't want to be touching the roof, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so...
you're more limited in your walls and things like that.
Yes.
You've got limited space.
Yes. Floors would usually also be easily insulated if access is okay. What are some things people need to think about here, and particularly about foil being bad now?
Yeah, so you don't lose as much heat through your floors, but that's normally the next level place we would go for insulation, because it's a really easy area to access in most houses. And you also get the benefit of having a warm floor where, you know, you have your feet in the floor, kids play on the floor, so it's a good area to be warmer. You want to avoid foils. Foils are now illegal to put under your house and illegal to repair. So if there's any foil under your house, be really careful, because if it's gone through, if it's been stapled through a wire, it could be live. It could actually give you an electric shock. So they are best to be replaced with a product like polyester or wool or glass bats. I tend to stay away from something like a rigid product, such as an extruded polyester, because you can't actually get into the gaps very easily with those. So if you go with a slightly fluffier product, you can fill up with all the gaps really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good advice. And what about then wall insulation? This isn't as simple, is it? Because you've really got to take off
the
lining.
So, And it is a slightly riskier one, because if you get it wrong, you could end up with moisture problems in the wall. So a few years ago, maybe 20 years ago, it was decided by the government that you needed a consent to do your insulation in your walls. So the Dunedin City Council does actually, we want you to install insulation in your walls. So getting a consent is free, but it does mean that, you know, you need to do it the correct way. So we don't want to have issues with getting moisture in your walls.
Mm.
So ideally you actually need to take the linings or the plasterboard off your walls from the inside, check that it's all okay, make sure you've got your building paper in the right place, and then install your insulation, then put your plasterboard back on.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can do it from the outside if you're taking your weatherboards, et cetera, off at the same time.
Mm.
So not as simple, but certainly if you're doing any renovations, perfect time to be doing it.
Yeah. And another thing to mention there, I guess, is the ground cover, which stops that damp rising, the polythene.
Yeah.
So what's your advice there?
Yeah. So when you're doing your underfloor insulation, that's also the good time to be putting down a black polythene under your floor. So it's basically, it is just black plastic, and that stops the moisture from the ground coming up into your house. So even when the ground seems dry, there's actually always moisture in the ground, and it has been shown from studies done in New Zealand that there can be up to 40 litres per day come up from the ground under a 100 square metre house. And that's a lot of moisture that can come up into your house that then you then need to get rid of out of your house.
Mm.
So, and that generally one of the cheaper things to do for your house. So really important to do.
Mm. And so I guess the other thing is pesky drafts.
Yep. Yeah.
Why do we need to stop drafts?
Well, especially when it's windy, they just simply blow through your house and take out all of that heat through your house. So you can lose quite a lot of heat when it's windy, and even when it's not, they'll just blow out that heat.
Mm.
Things like leaky windows, if they're drafty, if your windows aren't closing properly, if you've got gaps or extractor fans that aren't quite fitted properly, older downlight, cap flaps that open and close by themselves or not fitting properly, manholes, skylights or pipes that haven't been fixed in properly, all of those things should be checked,
mm-hmm.
And ideally fixed.
And so how can, any tips for locating those gaps?
Well, when you're living in a house, often you will come across them. But, you know, when something that can be quite nifty is just having some incense, and walking around with those, and the wee smoke trail. So, you know, you can just, when you're standing still with it, just see where the smoke blows. It can be quite a good way to do it.
And what are the options for plugging gaps? Some practical tips there.
For your windows, if you've got timber windows, make sure that your latches are all tight, that they're in the right place, your hinges are right. You could use the V-seal from Mitre 10 or Bunnings to place around your windows. You can actually get professional draft stoppers to come in and seal those properly. You can, you know, your extractor fans, they might need some new parts in there to stop that. You know, such a draft stopper damper on your outside or something like that. You might need, you know, even just some door snakes around your doors might be the right way to go. So there's a lot of little fixes that you can go in there. Sometimes just going into your trade store and asking them for a bit of advice is the way to go.
So when you said the V-seals, what would, just the listeners know what they're called,
That is actually the name of them.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. So instead of the foam ones that go around.
That you used to stick on.
Yeah.
Strips.
So the draft excluder foam seals, which you tend to put on, and often it will make the you know, another part of the window kind of stick out, and, you know, because they're not very flexible. The V seals are a rubber seal. So they just close as much as they need to. So rather than, you know, putting the window sort of out of kilter, they just, you know, they close as much as they need to. So they close that draft without, you know, kind of upsetting the balance of the window too much.
And the dampers you said on the extractors, is that something that can be retrofitted onto the outside cover?
Generally, yeah.
Yeah, well, you just change that cover out and it's got a damper on it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. And they're easily accessible. At the trade stores.
Just talk to your trade store people and they can normally help you out. Take along some photos of what your existing one is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Pipes coming up would be the one other thing you could seal, isn't it? Like
get some
dishwasher
of the,
pipe coming up.
Or? That's squirty stuff. What's it called? Some of the expanding foam kind of thing. You know, it keeps expanding quite a lot, but, you know, things like that can work quite well.
Yeah. So secondary and double glazing is an option, you know, to reduce heat loss, but it's probably quite expensive. But there's a cheaper thing. There's something called window insulation kits. Do you want to tell the listeners about those?
Yeah. So upgrading your windows is brilliant, but for most people it's on their longer term plans. And it is something that, you know, I'll tell people to get all of their other insulation sorted first, because you can get a huge benefit for that for a lot less money than once you've started spending on double glazing. But there is the window insulation kits that, again, you can buy from the trade stores, so Bunnings and Mitre 10 and those kinds of places. Which are much, much cheaper. They are a temporary option that you tend to put on possibly in sort of April and then take off again at the end of winter. But they do work just as well as double glazing. So they come as a kit, maybe about $40, that might do a couple of bedrooms. They do unfortunately only work for timber frame windows, but you simply put the tape that comes in the kit around the frames of the wooden windows, then you put the plastic that comes in the kit on it, and it works like a double glazed window, so there's a gap between the plastic and the glass, and then you heat up that plastic so it becomes really tight. And to be honest, it's not that obvious at all. My husband certainly didn't notice for many weeks when I did it. and it, you know, it immediately gets rid of condensation because it's just, you know, has that effect of double glazing. And, you know, for $40 you can do a couple of bedrooms. Nice. So it works really well.
Sounds like a great option. So curtains, obviously, are quite important for thermal.
Yes.
you know, what's some tips there about what people should think about when they're going to, you know, to make sure that their curtains are performing well?
Yeah, so because we have so much heat loss out of our windows, it's good to have that another layer. So I talked about R values before. We can also apply R values to our windows and our curtains. Curtains are actually often better than double glazing in terms of R values, but of course we actually only want to use them at night time. So having really good curtains can be better than double glazing for a start off at least. And we even if we do get double glazing eventually, we'll still have those good curtains. So what we want in curtains is we want to be able to stop the airflow from the room getting to the glass of the curtain. Because if the airflow in the room, the nice warm air in the room gets to the curtain, gets to the cold window, it gets cooled down by the cold glass. So we want a well-fitting curtain that has two layers. Ignore thermal backing. Thermal backing is just kind of a marketing thing, to be honest. You actually want two layers. So two tightly woven layers, not nets. If you have it tightly fitted, so ideally right to the floor, and then, nicely fitted at the top so you don't have airflow behind it, you might have one of those rails that fit hard against the wall, or you might have a palmet, or you might put a door stake or some towels up the top so you don't have airflow going down behind your curtain. And then you have your curtains going right to the edge of your windows and also meeting in the middle of your window as well.
Okay, so this next bit about moisture and condensation is quite important because mould obviously thrives in cold, damp environments. So reducing moisture and condensation is pretty important to stop its growth. What's your advice on ensuring as little moisture as possible and therefore mould growth is kept at bay?
We need to really keep on top of moisture all the time in our homes, because we live in an environment where we've got, you know, we're in an island and we do have, the sea right beside us here in Dunedin. So there's always a reasonable amount of moisture in our air. So one of the first things we want to be doing is checking that there's no extra moisture coming in from outside. So we want our gutters clean, which is a landlord's responsibility if you're a tenant. We want to have no leaks. We don't want to have ponding around our house. We want to have, you know, our paintwork, exterior paint in good condition, so no water's coming in. We don't want leaky windows, those kinds of things. We want to use our extractors, our kitchen extractor. We want to put pot lids on when we're cooking. We want to use our bathroom extractor fans as well. And ideally when we are having a shower, the warmer the air is, the more moisture it holds. So before we have a shower, actually turn on the heater a few minutes before you go into the bathroom and let the bathroom warm up. So then, come back a few minutes later, then turn on the hot water and then turn on the extractor fan. So then when you've got that hot water coming through, you'll have nice warm bathroom and the hot water in the air will actually hold the moisture in it, and you'll be able to extract it out really easily. The other thing you want to be doing just on a daily routine all through winter is you actually want to go a good daily ventilation. And that looks like opening all of your windows really wide, not just a little bit, really wide, for about 5 to 15 minutes per day, and just completely changing the air in your house, carrying out all the damp air and replacing it with dry air from outside, because it's nearly always drier outside because it is colder. Cold air can't hold as much moisture, so it's drier outside. And then completely close up your house, even your bathroom and laundry windows, because letting in cold air is not helpful. You want your house to warm up again, which it will from, from the heat that it's stored. If you do it for longer than 15 minutes, you will just lose all that stored heat in your house. So you're not doing yourself any favours by leaving your windows open for hours during winter. So you want to do it for a short period of time. You can do it a couple of times a day, but you don't want to do it for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm. And so obviously heating's important. What's the ideal comfortable temperature for an indoor space? And and then could you maybe just talk to us about a little bit about the different types of heaters and fires and stuff?
Most people, if they're sitting around, they'll be comfortable at about 22 degrees. If you're more active, that temperature will be a bit lower. In terms of health, healthy temperature for a healthy adult is 18 degrees. And for someone that's not well, a young person or an elderly person, it's actually 20 degrees. So most people's bedrooms and things will be well below that, unfortunately. So we actually need our houses to be warmer. In terms of your heating system, it depends on, you know, ideally we would be heating our whole house whenever we're at home, but our budgets probably don't allow that for most of the time. So we tend to have individual heaters around our houses. In terms of electric heaters, heat pumps are the most efficient, so it's great to have those in our living rooms and to use those and to use them, you know, appropriately for clean the filters, have them serviced every 1 or 2 years is great. And then in our bedrooms, generally in another electric heater. All plug-in electric heaters are 100% efficient. So they're all actually pretty good options. It's just having the right type of heater for the right type of room. So often a oil column heater is a pretty good option as long as you don't have a high ceiling or it's too big. It's just got to be, you know, and because they do take a while to warm up. So it might be more of a panel type heater that's more appropriate. As long as it's a safe option and has a thermostat and you use that thermostat appropriately.
Yep. Okay. Just quickly, the Warmer Kiwi Homes grant, could you just maybe mention that and how people might be able to find out a little bit more about it?
Yep. So we've got the Warmer Kiwi Homes grant, which is brilliant. And we've had different versions of this over the years. So at the moment it is about 80%, if you're eligible, you can get insulation for your ceiling and your underfloor up to 100% covered by the government and some Dunedin and topped up by the Cozy Homes Trust in Dunedin. And then also a heater grant as well, potentially. So to check if you're eligible, you'll either have to have a community services card or you have to live in certain sort of warm-up zones of Dunedin. To check that, you can Google Warmer Kiwi Homes or you can contact me or you can look at the CEAB website as well.
Yeah, perfect. Now, I guess the most important thing, which is why you're here, tell us a bit about your advice service, how that might work, how do people contact you and the wait times?
Cool. So my service is called the Eco Design Advisor Service, and it is a free service that is available to anyone in the Dunedin city boundaries, landlords, tenants, homeowners, whoever. Now, I can be contacted through the Dunedin City Council, so you can ring me at the council, or you can look at the council website and then look up Eco Design Advisor or EDA. On there, you can actually also book a consult with me and I will come to your house. I can spend up to about an hour and a half at your house. I can look in your ceiling. I can look under your floor. I can give you some tips on different things you can do. I can, help you out with some different things. I can refer you to different people, to the Warmer Kiwi Homes or to the Curtain Bank or, you know, to different people that might be able to help you out.
Yeah.
Or I can prioritise different actions within your home that might be able to help you out as well.
Nice. And wait times?
It varies hugely. At the moment, maybe a week.
Yeah. Which is pretty good.
Yeah, but then it can change quite quickly as well.
Yeah. Just very quickly, there's the Home Energy Audit Toolkit that can be got from the library, isn't there?
Yes, yep. So that's anyone from the library with a library card can borrow this, and you can do some wee experiments in your own home. You can see what temperature your house is, how much moisture you've got. You can, there's a manual with an instruction book and a wee booklet that you can fill in and keep to just see how your house is performing. And you can still do a consult with me, or you can just take your learnings yourself from that if you like.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, that's been some great advice and tips. If any of the listeners, you know, you can always hear that, listen to this back on podcast on the or FM website, and you can contact Lisa herself via the DCC or the website, or you can contact us if you want to just some, you know, find out anything that we've talked about today. Namahi Nui, Lisa, for coming to our show this evening and sharing your knowledge and advice about keeping your home warm and dry and healthy. What a great service you provide to the community, and for free.
Yes.
thank you to our listeners and Otago Access Radio and Jeff for hosting us this evening. Yes, our contact number is 471-6166. DCC is 477-4000, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, 477-4000. And it's the Eco
Design Advisor.
Design Advisor, yep. So, yeah, everyone stay well and warm, and noho ora mai.
Thank you. Mā te wā.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.